interrupting the current neo-Euclideal climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 603. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed because you don't know what you missed until you get behind the woodshed. And it's pretty much that simple. What we ask you to do is be on the giving it. And so you're not being overwhelmed and taken down by people that think that they have an authority that actually doesn't exist. And there's lots of ways to test that, and there's lots of ways to make that record, and that's all I ask you to do, to position yourself better as we go through all these things that tend to overwhelm us. And a lot of what I say, when we go through the notice, and we call it the news, it's the notice to us and what's going on in the world, and it reflects down. It's all the fractal, even back to us. But NRO chief, because you can't hide, folks. The NRO chief, the world's out there, and it's after you, I guess. Thought we were supposed to be peace on Earth. NRO chief, you can't hide from our new swarm of SpaceX-built spy satellites. If anybody thought about Elon Musk being one of the good guys. A satellite is always coming over an area within a given reasonable amount of time. The director of National Reconnaissance Office has a message for the U.S. adversaries around the world. You can't hide because we're constantly looking, said Chris Scalesi, a longtime NASA engineer who took the helm of the United States government spy satellite agency in 2019. Well, I'd have to ask you all, folks, if you've listened to me any time and looking and doing your own research and study, are you an adversary? Now consider what the PATROT Act did to you, extremists. And I'll ask again, are you an adversary to the U.S. government? The NRO is taking advantage of SpaceX Starlink satellite assembly line to build a network of at least 100 satellites and perhaps many more to monitor adversaries around the world. So far, more than 80 of these SpaceX-made spacecraft, each a little less than a ton in mass, have launched on 4 Falcon 9 rockets. There are more to come. A large number of these mass-produced satellites, or what the NRO calls the proliferated architecture, will provide regularly updated imagery of foreign military installations and other sites of interest to U.S. intelligence agencies. Scalesi, let me hide right there. Let's see if you've seen the new list. It came out with Tulsi Gabbard being assigned to the head intelligence office over all these agencies. The FBI is involved with U.S. as listed underneath intelligence agencies. So what I'm telling you about this looking at you locally, it's really not a joke at all. It's not sensationalism. It's written right in the law. And I bring these things in the news to us, notice to us, to see that. They're talking about us as well, the people. Scalesi said the new swarm of satellites will get us reasonably high-resolution imagery of the Earth at a high rate of speed. We expect to quadruple the number of satellites we have to have on orbit in the next decade, said Colonel Eric Serebininsky, director of the NRO's Office of Space Launch. The NRO is not the only national security agency eyeing a constellation of satellites in low Earth orbit. The Pentagon Space Development Agency plans to kick off a rapid-fire launch cadence next year to begin placing hundreds of small satellites in orbit to detect and track missiles threatening U.S. or allied forces. So the Space Force is also interested in buying its own set of SpaceX satellites for broadband connectivity. Quote, we need to have a persistence or fast revisit, close quote, Scalesi said on October 3rd in a discussion at the Center of Strategic International Studies, a nonprofit Washington think tank. You can proliferate your architecture, but more satellites up there so that a satellite is always coming over an area within a given reasonable amount of time that's needed by the users. That's what we're doing with the proliferated architecture. So that's your listening right there to an occupied world where a drone strike can kill extrajudicially. Right, O-Bummer? There's way more in this article as well when you read it. Get the link at the Blogcaster and find out how efficient Elon Musk is making government surveillance work. Now, the head of the Department of Government Efficiency. So I'm trying to bring this out and show you all the double-edged swords that this guy can be under the guise that he's helping humanity, even though he wants to get to Mars and put technocracy there, which should be a clue to most everybody. It doesn't look like it so far. At least not amongst the billionaires, correct? And the next guy thinking he can use those Everywhere You Are SpaceX satellite photos to influence friends and make official enemies. A federal judge sentenced the Massachusetts Air National Guard member to 15 years in prison November 12th for leaking classified military documents about the Ukraine war. Actions prosecutors said to put the country's national security at risk, endangered other military members, and damaged the United States' relationship with its allies. Today, Mr. Teixeira has paid a very heavy price for laws he broke, for the incredible damage that he caused, acting Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Josh Levy said afterward. This significant sentence sends a powerful message to every individual who holds a top-secret clearance, anyone who willfully threatens our national security by illegally disseminating classified information will face very serious repercussions. Jody Cohen, these are all special chosen people, right? It sounds like special agent in charge of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, Boston Division, told reporters the sentence to held Mr. Teixeira accountable for, quote, being one of the most prolific leakers of classified information in American history. This former Air National Guard grossly betrayed our country and the oath he took to safeguard its secrets in order to boost his ego and impress his friends, Mr. Cohen said. Quote, this was not a victimless crime. The exceptionally grave damage he caused will impact our national security for decades to come. So you have been warned, folks. But I wanted you to pick up some things there in that story that seem to be missing in stories in the subsequent story, even though we hear the FBI is involved in collecting up in this narrative that they're building against Iran. That warning may not have been soon enough for this guy here. FBI arrests CIA insider for leaking intel on Israel's plan to attack Iran. Now, I know they didn't need that story. You guys take the oaths and to secrecy. I know they don't need this story to do that. My point is that they're focused on certain things. They'll say certain things to the courts, and yet they're missing in other areas, and those other areas that they're missing tend to be those areas we're looking at as being narratives and not truth. Or, again, the ghosts of things not arrested that should have been, like we heard last episode. The official here is Asif W. Rahman, was charged last week in federal court in Virginia with two counts of willful retention and transmission of national defense information, the report said. Rahman was reportedly arrested by the FBI in Cambodia and brought to federal court in Guam to face charges. So notice he was moved to a U.S. territory, just like Assange was. You know, and once you, as you read these, over the years, just watch and read where they send people when they're doing this thing. He went from international to a U.S. territory, not to continental United States. Like you might think he'd be sent to Washington, D.C., which is another territory, if you will. It's a possession, it's the what they call the states, is not actually states. The documents he disclosed were prepared by the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and contain interpretations of satellite imagery that offer an insight into possible strike by Israel on Iran, according to the report. You heard that behind the woodshed when it came out, and we were talking about a little bit about that. The FBI confirmed in October it is investigating an alleged leak of classified documents and working closely with the Pentagon and intelligence community, of which it's a partner. And they rewired the place after 9/11. See, the White House is deeply concerned about leaks and classified information, U.S. National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby said in the wake of an incident, calling it unacceptable. Unacceptable, I do suppose, but to a criminal cohort as well. Remember what these guys talk about and what they do. Notice Kirby here in this story did not claim that anyone in the U.S. government was put in danger. As we've heard the U.S. mouthpieces routinely do, as they did to Assange and to Teixeira. So, no, this time we may have saved a whole lot of lives, both in the U.S. and foreign lives here, and this likely played into the callback of the first wave of that attack on Iran when those F-35 jets were locked on by the unknown defensive weapon system that we heard. So this report didn't actually harm lives, and they're not saying that it did. It didn't threaten it. It actually may have stopped them. I found that very interesting between the two. The Zionists, here invasion that we had heard, that force knew, at least in part, that their plan was known. Because of that leak, they couldn't trust they hadn't been made completely vulnerable, requiring that they call off their rogue attack on Iran. It was totally illegal and unlawful as well. So in this case, I believe this may have saved lives. And we don't hear the United States government claiming that it threatened anybody's life. And yet, it was still a leak of confidential information. Notice that there's really no moral application here whatsoever within a government, I would have to say, generally, or the people that are looking at this. And I'm not saying, you know, it's kind of a fine edge to be talking about national security information. But when you watch how they treat it, it's not actually a just treatment either. And in uniparty support of this thing going on toward Iran, bomb, 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 Iran, as we've heard, without condemnation either to look at this and is it right or wrong, another B-52 has been moved to Europe within quick striking distance of Iran and Russia by the global warmongers as they're building up again, as Trump starts to build his cabinet to be in the same way. These Zion neo clowns are just, I don't know where he finds these folks, but there they are. I guess they're everywhere, so it's not hard to pick them. But U.S. moves another strategic bomber to Europe. U.K. aircraft enthusiasts estimate that at least three B-52s have arrived in the country since the start of the month. Having entered service back in 1952, the B-52 remains one of the pillars of Washington's nuclear triad. Local media has claimed that a fourth American bomber, strategic bomber, is expected to arrive in Britain in the coming days. And the stated purpose is to train and operate alongside NATO allies and partners for several weeks, demonstrating the U.S. commitment to global security and stability. So Iran is located within that global sphere, if memory serves. And what stability has to do with anything in a nuclear context escapes me completely. So anybody who might have an insight, please contact me and explain this to me. But here we have the prepositioning of things getting ready, if you will, for either a late strike by Biden or everything, all the ducks in a row for Trump, who said he was going to be the peace president. And so far, every decision he's made has been contrary to that, at least to the Middle East. And I'm kind of holding out now. It's pretty well lost to me on me what how he can do. All he's got to do is show some little evidence that he can meet his promises of the campaign, even if he doesn't fully meet them. And so right now he's doing some interesting things within his cabinet, which completely looks like it's going to go toward what I told you before, that they're going to set up to attack. Some way they're going to figure out how to attack Iran, which is not peace, completely support the Zionists, which is not peaceful, and support genocide, which essentially, if you will, Israel is just a trigger man for the United States on this. So this is on us and on this guy Trump, who claimed to be he's going to bring peace to the world. I'm hoping he's playing 3D chess, and I hope he's playing, even though wants to sanction China, he's playing Chinese checkers while someone's playing chess. And he's got this thing figured out to put out position in people to qualify for his supporters, that he had those in position to do what he said he was going to do, and yet he is in the position, the final say, to say no. And so he sets it up. I'm hoping he's playing Chinese checkers to jump the positions to still do good, although the likelihood of that seems more and more slim, even in these last few days since the last episode in talking about this. So this move to bring the satellites in, which is coming, it'll be in the future, but then the B-52s, continuing what seems to be a wrong think in my mind, it better explains the military intelligence in this next story, what military intelligence is, better than any other thing I've read lately, also explaining that the U.S. government's delinquent wrong think in its approach to a changed world, in a particular these sandal-wearing heathens, brown people, the Houthis, and I'll tell you, it doesn't seem like they care at all about your satellites, United States government, Uncle Sam. Now, we might very well see here, as the news is developing, and something serious just popped up, but I can't qualify it, so I'm not going to speak much more to it than to identify it. We might very well be seeing a U.S. ship, a very large one, in matter of fact, or two, meet at Davy Jones's locker here shortly, partly because the U.S. directly participates in genocide and other war crimes in the region, while Congress either agrees or does not stop the misappropriation of public funds in doing so. We have federal laws that say you're not supposed to contribute toward war crimes, and no one seems to be amazed here to stop, but they are amazed as they're finding out the military is amazed and shocked by the sophistication of the Houthis' weapon tech. The United States must be living in last decade, and this is going to be a serious problem for us as far as our nation and our people and our sons and daughters that may be sent over to defend Israel when it starts to be shown that it's not doing so well, and the reports are it isn't doing so well against now the Hezbollah in recent days. The Defense Department doesn't quite know how to evaluate the Houthis' weapons capabilities, with Undersecretary of Defense and for Acquisition and Sustainment Bill LaPlante saying the militia are getting scary in terms of their technical sophistication. Now, folks, I need you to think about how serious this is, that they're feeling that it's getting scary. They're feeling that they can't anticipate what's going to happen, and they're running people around in big, giant ships that can be attacked. And they may have been. If the video I saw was true, they told us that the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln wasn't hit. It looks like it was on fire to me, but I can't prove that. I don't know what these ships look like, their numbers. I don't know what they do. I don't know the timing. But we may be being lied to that one of our aircraft carriers wasn't actually hit. Or some ship, a military ship, was actually already hit. Because these guys in the Defense Department aren't quite sure what they know about the Houthis, if anything. I'm an engineer and a physicist, and I've been around missiles my whole career, LaPlante, whose department is responsible for purchasing weapons for the United States military, said in the defense forum in Washington this week. Folks, they're amazed and shocked. See, we're so superior, the United States government, we're so superior, we could not conceive of such a thing. It's stupid hubris. It should not be sitting in our in a defense capacity planning. Along with missiles and drones, the militia have deployed an impressive array of air defense equipment, shooting down more than a dozen Reaper drones in clashes with American forces and forcing U.S. aircraft engaged in bombing runs to avoid militia-controlled airspace, thus limiting the effectiveness of the strikes. The militia's capabilities and ability to wage asymmetric guerrilla warfare against some of the world's most technically sophisticated militaries, despite being outnumbered, outgunned, and outspent, has raised eyebrows in Washington over the United States military approach. Just now starting to raise eyebrows, folks. So the military is so far behind in its threat perception, they might be getting their asses handed to them here. So I guess I'm going to say this just to prepare us. Asses isn't a four-letter word, right? In congressional grilling of U.S. military officials in May, Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Strategic Forces Angus King highlighted the absurdity of expending missiles that cost millions of dollars to shoot down Houthi drones that cost thousands. Quote, in the Red Sea, the Houthis are sending $20,000 drones, and we're shooting them down with missiles that cost $4.3 million. The math doesn't work on that, gentlemen. It just doesn't work. What are we thinking? King asked. And I say, yeah, and what are we thinking? See, we're not thinking. Not at all. But we're also morally corrupt. And apparently Allah will find a way for those sandal-wearing heathen brown people. And there's not going to be much to stop this. And all the Houthis are asking here is for Israel to stop its genocide against the Palestinians without the aid and support for which the Zionist regime could not continue but for the United States. But the IZUS terrorists, the Israel and United States chosen, are superior to the Creator, don't you know? And on the other hand, It makes perfect sense when the U.S. government allows corporate plunder and revolving doors under color of national defense, and that oh-so-special, unduly foreign-influenced national interest the rest of you all go to jail over on the mere unsubstantiated opinion. It appears Trump is about to double down on stupid. And he's got a mandate from God, remember? And he's immune. So remember what I said about the Messiah complex gone bad. Maybe we'll pray for goodness and press for peace. Because it doesn't look like it's going that way, notwithstanding what the politician will say. It hasn't been looking very good from the onset of the government to come with the United States, or the fact of things. From the that didn't take long to discover department, as we talked last episode, Netanyahu claims responsibility for explosive pager attack. So again, as I said, I read that title. I'm not reading the news here. I'm hoping my listener thinks ahead quickly when I make these comments. Why would I even be talking about something that's in the past, the recent past, the explosive pagers, after just talking about war crimes and genocide and all that thing, and that the United States is not supposed to be supporting that when I say explosive pager attack? I'm hoping your mind goes, yeah, that was an indiscriminate attack. That's a war crime. So I'm pulling together the notices in this news, they call it, to show you they're explaining the war crimes from day to day, the condition, who's supporting it, what's going on, and you can then look and see, well, they can condemn the Houthis, but the Houthis are the only people in the world that have stood up and actually taken action based on wanting to stop those war crimes and genocide, which you found out, 15 judges of ICJ, whatever their real authority is, there was 15 independent people who read law, international law at that, and said when there's genocide and war crimes going on, all nations, even down to local non-government organizations, have to step up to stop it. And we're not seeing any of that. So this is going through my mind. I don't know what goes through the mind of my listeners. I'm hoping all this time that I talk and I pull these things together and you're listening, and hopefully intently, you're able to put these things together in real time, why we're talking about them. This really reflects back to us, where we are. That's why it's not out there, probably ever. I don't have all the answers. What I do know is if we continue to be silent, the bully keeps going. The criminal keeps going. The next bank gets robbed. The next child gets destroyed. But here, Netanyahu claims responsibility for explosive pager attack, eliminating, again, confessed out of the mouth of the criminal, the war criminal, and now we're going to see, was he really part of it? Let's just read. We can now just take his confession and his admission, and we can move on. He's a war criminal, and I hope you pick that up when I'm reading this, and how that ties into what we're supporting and what Trump's putting up around him, these Zio-Neo clowns that come up around, that he's got in office, said he's going to be putting in office, now he's around his cabinet. The operation was carried out despite opposition from senior military officials. The Israeli Prime Minister has said, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has acknowledged for the first time that Israeli special services were behind a sabotage operation in which thousands of handheld pagers and radios exploded across Lebanon, killing dozens and wounding thousands indiscriminately. And if I remember right, this was not just Lebanon. It happened in Syria as well, and maybe a couple of other places. On September 17, thousands of pagers, primarily used by Hezbollah militants, exploded simultaneously, here we go, in Lebanon and parts of Syria. The following day, hundreds of walkie-talkies detonated in a similar wave blast. The indiscriminate attacks killed at least 42 people, including 12 civilians, and injured over 3,500, including women and children. The indiscriminate attacks was widely attributed to Israeli spy agency Mossad, and viewed as a preemptive strike, after which Israel intensified its indiscriminate attacks in Lebanon. Until now, Israel has refrained from claiming responsibility for the pager attacks, and its allies have denied any knowledge of them. That's us, folks. Its allies have denied knowledge. No evidence. No hard evidence. Now, the guy behind the woodshed told you, Occam says it was Mossad. It had to be batteries that were specially made and put in. That was the fastest way they could do that. They had an assembly line to do it. I don't know. I didn't see it. It just seemed to be the best way. When everybody's in denial, we got to get to the fact of, who put that in there? And are we, in our consumer devices, now at threat? Maybe it wasn't Israel. Let's look, peer through and see what the probabilities are. What's the potentials? Well, there wasn't much potential. It had to be these folks here. And now it comes out that Satan Yehu admits. The scheme drew an international condemnation, you know, with the UN Human Rights Commission Volker Turk labeling it shocking and unacceptable act that violates human rights law. And I have to say off the bat, and so? So Trump supports a war criminal in chief. And I just, again, look at this so much for a peace president. I just don't see it in the guy. Unless he's playing some really cool Chinese checkers. He's going to jump the shark in a way relative to what they think. Putting all these people in place so that everyone thinks everything's cool, that we're going in the right direction, but he's got his other plans. I can only hope he's all we got. And so he was the best of the evils, if you will, and we look to see maybe he will do the best. I'm hoping he's that guy. There's nothing else that we need, that we can do. There is no other people to choose from, and that's, again, on we the people. I mean, I think about, I say that, Lindsey Graham. How the heck did Lindsey Graham stay in office? Mitch McConnell. How do these people stay in office? And yet they do. And now we also may see about the election interference and what they're doing and what they don't do. And that could be a play too. It seems the Democrats got caught. It doesn't mean that the Republicans don't play the same type of games. Maybe they're a little savvy about it. I'm not here to identify that. I'm just wondering, how do we have all these bad people in places of seats of decision and contribute, literally back up something that everybody in the world knows is not supposed to be backed up. Even their allies were supposed to call it out. U.S. walks back Israel arms embargo. So not only are they making a big stinky wind about, oh, we're going to be, look like we're going to help. No, we're not going to actually help. We're going to say we're going to withhold the arms, but we're not actually going to. Here's the story. Another admission. Israel hasn't fully complied with Washington's demands on humanitarian issues, but will still get weapons, State Department says. The United States State Department has announced that it will not withhold arms shipments to Israel despite the Jewish state failing to meet a set of conditions, Washington said, were mandatory for these shipments to continue. Mandatory conditions. Where have we heard that before? So anybody care anymore? And they don't. And then we don't. And whether or not by a foreign belligerent occupier at the speed of genocide, or by your very own local health official and federal conspirator at warp speed, see how easy it is that they can get away here with murder? And you thought I was talking about arms embargoes. One method adapts itself to another, and another, and another. And all you got to look for is those clues, and you knows them when you sees them, folks. And something that Occam attributed to U.S. intelligence agencies and Mossad, again, to get their war with Iran, whether Trump lived or died, as you heard me explain that in those episodes, U.S. accuses Iran of plotting to kill Trump. An Iranian national has been charged with a murder for hire. An Iranian national and two Americans have been charged with the involvement of a murder for hire plot to assassinate President-elect Donald Trump, as well as an Iranian dissident, the U.S. Department of Justice has announced. Farhad Shakiri, Carlisle, Pop Rivera, and Jonathan Lodhalt were named in the criminal complaint unveiled on Friday by the Southern District of New York. Rivera was arrested in Brooklyn and Lodhalt in Staten Island. Shakiri is believed to reside in Iran and remains at large. Believed the Iranian ghost is at large, folks. Okay, should I be afeard now? How about now? Should I be afeard now? The charges announced today expose Iran's continued brazen attempts to target U.S. citizens, including President-elect Donald Trump, other government officials and dissidents who criticize the regime in Tehran, FBI Director Christopher Wray said in a statement. So now we read that very carefully, and we see, we have to ask the question, is Trump a dissident here? Is that what they said there? The DOJ alleges that he is an asset, not Trump, but this other guy, Shakiri, is an asset of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. The DOJ alleges, again, who has a network of criminals associates he met in prison to spy on targets and their plot their deaths. Rivera, 49, and Lodeholt, 36, were allegedly promised $100,000 by Shakira to stalk and kill an unidentified Iranian dissident, victim one. According to DOJ, Shakiri, had several, quote, recorded interviews with law enforcement agents in which he said that he was tasked by the IRGC on October 7th to provide a plan for killing Trump. Alleges here, without stated proof, actually. And why October 7th? When the Zionists let Hamas defend itself to give the Israelis the opportunity to use the cannibal directive to kill its own people as they left the rave by hellfire missiles from attack helicopters and to begin its genocide campaign, that October 7th? Iran has stated it intends to bring Trump to justice, and it asserts through it will do that in legal means for killing its general Soleimani, not to retaliate for the lawful actions of the Hamas on October 7th. The reference to October 7th likely comes from the Zionists and then would relate to the ongoing campaign to fortify the ear-nicked programming assassination attempt to unduly influence Trump. Again, if he had survived, and he did, to go to war with Iran, for the Zionist Federation movement illegally and belligerently occupying Palestine. And as I described, Occam would have found about the Butler assassination attempt ongoing today with another part of the deep state regime, and it's found as well that these two other guys that they did catch were Jewish. And during that interview, though, when they had Shakiri, he claimed he did not intend to propose a plan to kill Trump within the time frame set by the IRGC, the DOJ noted, it was unclear why Shakiri has not been arrested. It's Iran's ghost, supposedly. While the DOJ noted that the defendants are presumed innocent until proven guilty in court, Ray and Attorney General Merrick Garland have held up the indictment as proof that Iran is actively targeting nationals on the United States and its allies living in countries around the world for attacks motivated by vengeance for the 2020 death of IRCG Quds Force Commander General Qasem Soleimani. So they're nationals, not expressly targeting Trump, apparently, here, just dissident nationals generally. You think if the DOJ had the evidence Trump was targeted, the DOJ here would just say so, wouldn't you? So that would be what a coup for Biden administration to show its nonpartisan and dispensing equal justice where it apparently has not seemingly been able to do so everywhere where instituting lawfare, which I might add we the people see routinely, for instance, in the Bundy case, the corrupted prosecutors and the judge that didn't act to stop it here until it was exposed. Yeah, lawfare is not new to we the people. Now it's moved politically and using the technique to foment the war despite a congressional declaration of war or evidence to make such a declaration is absent. I think everyone's forgotten this point. We need a declaration of war to be doing what we're doing. And nobody stops that. Nobody. And all the people in Congress are not saying anything about it. No, they're all willing to go help commit genocide. And in fact, they may be directly doing it because without their help, without their bombs, without their planes, without their parts, without their money, United States provides, Israel could not do what it's doing. It would be done as soon as the first jets started needing parts, they'd be over. The fuel, as soon as it went away, done. I don't think they'd last 30 days. The 45th and soon to be 47th President of the United States survived an assassination attempt on July 13 during a campaign and rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. The Secret Service killed the shooter, identified as 20-year-old American Thomas Crooks. Another would-be assassin, Ralph Root, was arrested in September after he set an ambush at a Florida golf course belonging to Trump. No Iranian connection was made in either case. Now, I read all those paragraphs you've heard before just to say that sentence again. No Iranian connection was made in either case. So the DOJ has zero evidence of any direct Iranian influence, even though Shakiri's ghost is running at large. Yet the uniparty drums continue to beat for war with Iran because, well, Zionists is genocidal bloodlust and land theft. Well, maybe it's time to acknowledge that the Democrat and Republican political parties are terrorist organizations, maybe? Maybe we could start there? Continuing, this was a busy department this last couple of weeks. From the That Didn't Take Long to Discover department, Susie Wiles, Trump's chief of staff, works for a lobbying firm representing junk food, pharmaceutical, and tobacco industries. Trump has worked to cultivate a populist image in the past, running on a pledge to drain the swamp and promises to end the revolving door and tax of Wall Street. Before he left office in 2021, he reversed his own executive order that would have barred his appointees from any lobbying related to their agencies for 5 years. One of the Trump campaign's consistent messages to voters was that the Trump administration would make America healthy again, with campaign figures like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. pledging to get ultra-processed foods removed from school lunches. Mercury Public Affairs has a large lobbying contract with several junk food companies that will be working to oppose that objective. It lobbies for sugar cereal company Kellogg's, high fructose corn syrup sauce maker Kraft Heinz, and Nestle SA, the Swiss company whose brands include Kit Kat, Hot Pockets, and Nestle. In addition to her work on political campaigns, Susie Wiles is a registered lobbyist. Federal disclosures filed in April show Wiles was a lobbyist for the tobacco company Swisher International while running the Trump campaign. The documents showed she worked to influence Congress on FDA regulations. Wiles is the co-chair for the Florida and Washington, D.C. Office of Mercury Publication Affairs, a lobbying firm whose clients include Airbnb, AT&T, eBay, Pfizer, Tesla, and the Embassy of Qatar, although she is not a registered lobbyist for any of those clients. Yep, if and we thought Trump 2.0 would be clearly different than Trump 1.0 at warp speed. However, there was a question done, so we'll turn to that, and we'll look at what actually was little Susie doing here. Did it actually include pharma? And so Sputnik asks, really, a corporate lobbyist with direct contact with the President of the United States? Sputnik's fact check, is Trump White House of Chief of Staff a big pharma lobbyist? Do the accusations have merit? Susan, Wiles nicknamed by Trump the Ice Maiden, which I still haven't figured out the reason for that. I can't find why they call this woman the Ice Maiden. It suggests quite a bit, but I don't know. Most recently worked as a co-chair in lobbying for Mercury Florida's in Washington, D.C. office since February 2022. On its website, Mercury lists Gavi, Ford Foundation, Tesla, Pfizer, United Nations Foundation, Kaiser Permanente, and Gilead as being amongst its 550 clients. While employed at Mercury, Wiles lobbied on behalf of Swisher International Incorporated. According to the U.S. Senate lobbying disclosure website, Swisher is an American international tobacco company listed in disclosure forms as SI Group Client Services. Wiles' lobbying efforts concerned Food and Drug Administration regulations in the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. However, she was promoting not drugs, but tobacco. U.S. investigative website Sludge claims Wiles' tobacco contracts contradicted Trump's Make America Healthy Again agenda. Prior to working at Mercury, she had been employed by lobbying company Ballard Partners. According to lobbying disclosure reports, her clients were Fossil Fuel Company and Alliance Resource Partners, the Clean Energy Advocate, Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions, Automobile Company General Motors, Insurance Company Bankers Financial Corporation, International Network Children's Hospital Association, and others. And still, there are no big pharma companies on their subsidiaries in the list of her lobbying efforts between 2017 and now. So, pharma lobbying aside, I think the corporations, multinationals, have the ear of Trump through this woman. And I will have to wonder, does Trump have an ear for you, or is that the part that was just nicked and now missing in action? And this started to lead off with, well, maybe this cabinet that he's building, Trump is building, is maybe not what we had hoped, for sure. and it's going to be more of the same, which is also something most of us would consider was going to happen. On the other hand, we have proof why the government was supposed to be prohibited from interfering with the free speech business, that marketplace of ideas, you know, they call it, and should maybe just treat everyone with the consideration and respect you'd think that the government might want to do, but we don't enjoy that either. We read this fact-checking that fails. FEMA's political fallouts puts misinformation police under the microscope. Revelation that the FEMA employee instructed relief workers to bypass homes displaying support for Donald Trump during the aftermath of Hurricane Milton was substantiated at least some concerns that were initially dismissed as misinformation by several Democratic lawmakers and mainstream media outlets, including the New York Times, who described the suggestion that relief workers were neglecting areas that had voted for Republicans as false in a fact check. I guess that should have read Democrat lawmakers, not Democratic, but neither here nor there at some point. They're politics. This incident sheds light on the broader implications of the fight against online misinformation, particularly how premature labeling of claims can potentially suppress legitimate grievances and criticisms that later prove to have been based on some truth, something that happened often in 2020 and the COVID era. The controversy surrounding the FEMA, F-E-M-A, employee who allegedly directed a relief team to ignore homes displaying support for the then-Republican president nominee, Donald Trump, has sparked outrage and demands for a thorough investigation by legislators. As further reported by the Daily Wire, the employee who has now been fired instructed team members to bypass these homes as an action condemned by the FEMA administrator, Deanne Criswell, as a clear violation of FEMA's core values and principles to help people regardless of their political affiliation, she says now after they got caught. Criswell's confirmation of the dismissal came through the post on X Twitter following online reports about the employee's conduct. The rush to curb the spread of misinformation online is a top priority for many pro-censorship platforms and legacy institutions claiming to protect the public discourse from false narratives. However, this incident exemplifies the complexity and risks inherent in these efforts. Initially, the claims regarding any of FEMA's discriminatory practice were quickly categorized as baseless and part of an online misinformation campaign. This has not only stifled debate, but potentially delayed the scrutiny necessary to uncover and address any wrongdoing. Again, why even corporations, certainly the government, should have stayed out of interfering with the First Amendment, a right to speak or to acquire information. Let us filter it out. That is our job, I thought. If you're going to be an informed society, you have to be informed, and that means the power to discern. In bringing under scrutiny, uncovering, and addressing more government wrongdoing, U.S. judge tosses Illinois ban on semi-automatic weapons, governor pledges swift appeal. This guy really is a problem, isn't it? How he stays in power, I don't get it. But then here he is, again, over all these years. A federal judge on Friday overturned Illinois' ban on semi-automatic weapons, leaning on a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling that strictly interpret the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. I'm going to interject here. I want you to keep paying attention to this. Recent U.S. Supreme Court rulings that strictly interpret all the Constitution now. You're going to hear some more cases coming along the line. The reason why I'm highlighting because they're along the lines of what I was saying should have been doing before, and now we're able to do that given the Supreme Court weighed in finally. I would have thought reasonable people, law-abiding people, would be able to interpret this as pretty clear, but apparently that's not the case anymore. But what I found problematic about this article and maybe the bias this is an AP News offering, they don't tell us what the Supreme Court ruling was, what the case was. So this is either poor reporting or gun control biased reporting, I thought, because we have no way to quickly go in to find the support for the article itself and or be informed about the objective decision. A U.S. District Court, Stephen P. McGlynn of the Southern District of Illinois, issued a permanent injunction he said applies universally, not just to the lawsuit plaintiffs. The opinion drew heavily from the recent landmark Supreme Court rulings expanding on the definition of the Second Amendment guarantees. Again, which landmark case? If it's a landmark case, it's news. It's newsworthy and deserves a mention by name. So unless Associated Press does not intend to fully inform the people and prey upon their lack of attention, ignorance, and the AP's future intention to contort opinions, beliefs, and feelings, nothing more than feelings, through future corrupt narratives, this is a woefully inadequate story to read from, and they need to certainly up their game. And despite mentioning the fact that there is recent Supreme Court cases, the article admits it was a number of recent cases, actually, all of which remain unnamed in preference to reciting the tyrant Governor Pritzker's impoverished prima donna opinions, as you'll see over and over again referenced to. Or, in the more modernized sense, would it be his prima Karen contrivances that they're citing to? Well, either way, not citing the cases requires a lot more footwork to obtain full foundation in law that the Associated Press clearly does not want people to know. So McGlynn, in the article, says he was appointed to his post in the Southern District of Illinois by President Donald Trump during his first term. He drew closely on the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling for the past 15 years that have solidified the more recently expanded interpretation of the Second Amendment's guarantees. Again, no direction here. We now know it's, within 15 years, but there's a host of those cases right now. As I was telling you, so important that the Supreme Court finally did weigh in, though it's not justice because they should have weighed in immediately or condemned these laws that were not proper immediately. They shouldn't be waiting around for all this. I have a problem with the adversarial system on a fundamental right. There's nothing adversarial about that. The government is absolutely not, is prohibited, period. The article goes on to say, sadly, there are those who speak to usher in a sort of post-constitutional era where the citizens' individual rights are only as important as they are convenient to a ruling class, McGlynn wrote in his opinion. The oft-quoted phrase that no right is absolute does not mean that fundamental rights precariously subsist subject to the whims, caprice, or appetite of government officials or judges. Neither paragraph here there is legal determination, though. That's a nice sentiment to hear stated, don't you think, that way? Judge McGlynn decided, however, that the injunction would not take effect for 30 more days. Illinois' Attorney General Kwame Raoul responded speedily, filing a notice of appeal Friday evening. Eric Pratt, Senior Vice President of Gun Owners of America, which represented one of the plaintiffs in the case, said that Pritzker's and Illinois lawmakers, quote, "We warned them to fall in line, but they chose to do the opposite. While this case took time, we are thrilled with the victory and for the citizens of Illinois," Pratt said. "We the people deserve the right to decide how best to protect ourselves and our loved ones, not anti-gun tyrants." So as I said, fundamental rights should not take a long time, plus 30 days to enjoy. This should have been an immediate response and more quickly even done than that. Again, I don't know what the government brings. When it's prohibited, it's prohibited. And from the, and it's gone. Oh, no, it's not, department. Very serious story, but I don't keep track of it too much because it's. I figured it would go on and on, but now it's taking an interesting twist. Very serious and interesting twist. Alex Jones InfoWars has not been sold to the satirical publication The Onion. That's because it was first reported that it was. The Onion looked to have purchased InfoWars on Thursday. A Texas judge has paused the sale due to legitimacy concerns. Jones has called the auction process illegal. Let me just interject there. They're reporting here that Jones has called it illegal. The judge has took a special hearing, and he called it. He wouldn't certify it. So let's not pull too much more over into Jones' condition on what he's declaring. This is what Jones responding to what he was having to experience here. It was announced Thursday morning that Jones' media outlet had been sold at a bankruptcy auction to left-leaning satire site The Onion. However, a Texas judge has since placed it on hold amid concerns over the legality of the process. Quote, I personally don't care who wins the auction. I care about process and transparency, Judge Christopher M. Lopez said on Thursday during a status conference in the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas. Quote, nobody should feel comfortable with the results of the auction, Lopez added. Jones said on his ex-Twitter account that it was, quote, private sale masquerading as an auction that did not happen, which is why the judge halted the sale. The sale was blocked by the judge, and Lopez said that he will hold an evidentiary hearing in order to correct the situation. While no date has been set, Jones said it would occur next week. Jones announced the buyout and said that it was done through a secret bidding process. Jones promised earlier this week that he planned on continuation of the Alex Jones Show, per Times. On Thursday, he posted comments in reaction to the news of the purchase, saying that InfoWars is being shut down, and said that it was done without a court order through a secretive auction. And this is where it started to make interest to me, because they're not really supposed to be, especially when they're already involved with the help with the courts. They're not supposed to do the self-help. And here they are, without a court order acting. Jones said that the InfoWars bankruptcy, they changed all the bidding rules, made it secret 2 days ago. I had a bad feeling, I told you that, just like they tried to shut us down back in May, late May, without a court order. There's going to be injunctions filed. So a prior report had only details with potentially serious ramifications to bring more context on this as well with these late-breaking updates. And I wanted to bring the context to this in this next tab for those not following too close, like myself. I wasn't following too close. I didn't like what I was hearing, but what are you going to do? They got to go through the process, and I wanted to see the give and take. It takes a long time. So I wanted to wait for all the to work to the conclusions because of the seriousness of the underlying concerns that we see. Not what we're watching, the theater that we're watching. And something I'm going to characterize as the government gone wrong without a remedy, notwithstanding the judge shutting it off. It took Jones's attorney to go in and ask for the special hearing to enjoin that process. It wasn't like the judge is waiting to do justice here, but he did look at it. And again, I think it's more about embarrassment, because it didn't seem that Alex Jones is getting much justice up until here. The critics of Alex Jones buy InfoWars, Sandy Hook families, and every town for gun safety helped The Onion buy the outlet was the originating story to bring context a bit to this. And the diabolical nature of the people that are trying to do this. It really starts to look more that, as he was saying, they're attempting to destroy InfoWars, they're attempting to destroy Alex Jones and his influence. Whatever my opinion of that is not relevant at that point. He still has the right to speak and to display and to promote and have people acquire. And I don't know, I mean, the judgment over a $1.5 billion, which we'll hear here in a moment, that was just outlandish. When you find out that insurance companies are only going to give you $15,000 for losing an eye, your feelings can't be worth much more than that. And here we saw this. So the satirical outlet, The Onion, has teamed up with the U.S. gun control group Everytown to place the winning bid on InfoWars, which right-wing commentator Alex Jones was forced to liquidate to pay legal debts. Several families of Sandy Hook school shooting victims who won the judgment against Jones reportedly also pitched in. And this becomes very interesting because I'll give you some links as well. Alex Jones explains what they tried to do here relative to that judgment that they won in their contribution to try and take this property from Jones. You need to hear how that works better than me paraphrasing. I'll give you the links. You can listen to the video that he made. It's just really astonishing that they've gone this far and haven't been stopped by any judge at this point. Back in 2022, a Connecticut judge ordered Jones to pay $1.5 billion to the families of those killed in the 2012 school massacre who claimed the lives of 20 children and 6 adults. The plaintiffs argued that Jones caused them emotional damage by claiming the shooting was staged so the U.S. government could enact draconian gun control laws. Jones tried to file for bankruptcy protection, but the courts denied it, and he was forced to put InfoWars up for auction. Now listen, this is, again, my my observation for this is for y'all that listened to Jones or bought things from him or gave information to him, the purchase by these people includes InfoWars intellectual property, website, inventory, customer lists, and certain social media accounts and production equipment. So his prior customers can be targeted here? Is what I looked at that. That sounds like a serious threat to those customers who bought, purchased products, and now they have a list that they kept, and now they're going to go to some foreign people with foreign interests, and you say they're almost antagonistic to the Jones condition and anybody who might listen to him. So I'm going to say that again, that the purchase will include the customer lists that Jones had. And I'm putting that out as a bit of a, I don't know if it's a warning or a caution, or maybe pay attention for those of you that would have contributed to Alex Jones in that way. Jones founded InfoWars in 1999, and by 2017, the website was receiving around 10 million monthly visits, eclipsing many mainstream news sites. He vowed to return to broadcasting under another brand as soon as possible. The amount of the winning bid was not disclosed, at least at this time. It was on an earlier one, and that bid was $3.5 million. And they said here this was more than seven figures, though. So, in fact, it was $3.5 million. Lawyers for the families insisted that shutting down InfoWars and its parent company, Free Speech Systems, LLC, to settle part of the debt. Now, understand here, the Limited Liability Corporation, LLC, it could be liquidated, too, for anybody who thinks limited liability means limited to just whatever you thought. They can still take you down this way. You are a corporation subject. So understand this part of this story here, this kind of caution. Look carefully, because I see lots of people thinking they're going to make LLCs and protect themselves. The Onion is proud to acquire InfoWars, they said, and we look forward to continuing its storied tradition of scaring the site's users with lies until they fork over their cold, hard cash, the outlet CEO Ben Collins said on Thursday, or Bitcoin. We will also accept Bitcoin. And that's what I need to do to get a dime for a broadcast for my listeners. Is that true? Scare you? Really? Well, it seems so. The ongoing horror show. Without all the remedies you hear behind the woodshed that we provide here every week, you can prove the Onion statement, you know, is wrong by showing your support to the truth without being afeared by finding the donate buttons on the RLM website. We're looking for SoundMind's link tree in the description of every syndication portal where you hear this broadcast and all the other content provided in SoundMind as aggregates for your listening pleasure and unafeared edification. The Onion opinion aside, this is another unprecedented attack of lawfare that brings the judiciary of this country even lower than I think it could have said to go. But then again, where's the bottom when sliding into the stinking abyss? Maybe tell the disaffected InfoWars listeners, we're here, and if they want to listen and do something about what affears them, to listen to what we say behind the woodshed and what SoundMind presents. And to do that, please donate today. We try not to affear you into using and spending money. On that note, the problem here also with us, really recently, the problem with the network not responding, it does appear to be corrected for the most part. We did have something happen. No one was inside like it was last time, and it corrupted half the front end where you all would be listening and clicking. All that got destroyed, while the back end, I was able to get in the back end perfectly fine. And then a couple days ago, that even got cut out. But piece by piece, we got taken apart, and we can't figure out what happened. But all that's been corrected, except for the last maybe month worth of entries, and we're working on that. We're going to try and get that done. So y'all who had problems, you can go there now, and we're quickly working to restore everything. But even more important, as I said, the donations are for sound and the coding to be transferred, and I'm told the site transfer to the more secure domain and functioning and the less expensive system is now underway. And again, thank you to those that donated to help us get this far along to that. Though I said, there's a whole lot more to do. And The truth being, stranger than fiction, it doesn't appear to be a satirical acquisition, the update to the InfoWars saga relative to this, and the difficulty it is to keep a network going, especially when you're as large as Alex Jones is now. Again, to his credit, I don't want to sound so bad. There's just stuff, sensationalism doesn't set with me well. Not providing a place for people to go look and do things, not to give them remedy, doesn't set with me so well. But some people need that, I suppose. And I guess for that, people are, they're more willing to pay and buy products. So that's where we here at Real Liberty Media don't function so well and haven't really thought that was part of what we needed to do. That said, you see how big you get, and you can be taken piece by piece, taken apart. And they will even scam. They will. This is a scandal that we're watching relative to Alex Jones. That the changing condition is really important. I hope that people appreciate, and I'm hoping to see some of this for him, that when they shut him down without a court order, that's a trespass. He may be able to, he's not going to get $1.5 billion out of this, but he can get a lot of offset credits, and I think he's going to file a bunch of lawsuits against all these people that tried to finagle that sale to be real when it wasn't. The judge, he'll say that the judge even said, I didn't even authorize the auction yet. There was inventories that had to be done. There was supposed to be dispositions of things that were supposed to be done. So, very important story here. Very important development. But very important that they're attacking free speech. And it's very important to understand what we've been saying here, what I've been saying, what I've been hoping we could start to do. When I say that we make a network that can't be shut down, this is the type of thing we're talking about. They're shutting him down. He's going to go do a new brand. I don't know how he gets a property that they're not going to keep hunting him down until they get their money. So this is a part that we all start to play when we start to understand what this situation is. The Onion thought it was a funny idea to come after and do this in this context. In this sort of a world, we got to think a little bit different. That all said, this is BTWRLM 603. And you can't go wrong when you get behind a woodshed. You really can't. So I've added some extra links to those ex-Twitters. Go ahead and pick those up with the blogcaster, and we will see. You can see what he's saying, whatever truth you put on it. I don't think he's lying. I don't think he's exaggerating. I don't think this is sensationalism. This part is real, and it's deadly serious, and he's going through the process. But you see that winning wasn't even good enough. They really want to make him look bad. Whoever's weighed, and I'm talking deeper than the families, they really want to make InfoWars put a taint on it, and yet they want to pick that domain up. And for all y'all, you know, if that gets picked up by someone like they did here, you probably wouldn't go there anyway, would you? So I'm not sure what their future plans are, but so that must be more that they want to make it look bad. They want to identify it as right wing and all that. I don't know. He's not like he doesn't tell the truth. So I'm not criticizing him for that. That's for sure. It's just the how you present the truth. And that's a lot sensational and a lot over the top. And maybe people need to hear that. I'm not wired that way. And so that's just not going to be something that I'm agreeable to at some point. But it works for him. It works for the people that listen to him. Whether it works in the next step when you have to go defend yourself, when you have to understand what's going on, look at the truth of this. He has tons of lawyers working on it, working with him. So he's got lots of money going out even so. So there's realities here to pay attention to, notwithstanding whatever I might say to help you. It can get pretty messed up when someone comes after you. And this is what the kind of things we have to think about if we look around and we wouldn't want to do more than complain and, you know, moan and complain. It's really a weird world that's developed. I don't even know anybody could have conceived it. But here we are. So InfoWars looks like Jones is saying it's done. It's going to be sold. It looks like he might have someone who may be coming in and paying for the place. And I'm not sure what they've got little behind the scenes of that. He was saying we have some people coming in that are going to buy it. And that's how they also found out that the auction was not really good, not done well. But so InfoWars ultimately has been captured. It's now behind enemy lines and captured. Evil here is right behind you. Whatever you think is going on, you need to say, what am I going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? You're just going to go to the next network. I guess you could come to Real Liberty Media. But as I say, get you behind the woodshed now. Open you a can of whoop ass. You can do it at reallibertymedia.com. Come and listen, learn some of the tricks, look at what you have to do. You have to gear up your game, and as a caution, don't be like Edna. You don't want to ever open that can of whoop ass while you're the only one in the room. So be careful about that. And while $1.5 billion indebted Alex Jones fawns all over a billionaire Trump, let me show you something that just turned up in the news to give you notice on how Trump 2.0 is merely Trump 0.10 with a fresher neo-clown font. Trump team members irritated by Musk. SpaceX and Tesla CEO Elon Musk is overstaying his welcome at the U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate and, quote, behaving as if he's a co-president, sources close to the election winner have told the NBC. Trump's team has denied that there is any tension between the pair. Well, as NBC's distraction here, it isn't about the tension between Musk and Trump, but the tension by the Trump team members against Musk. Musk's closeness to Trump has apparently irritated some of the president-elect's transition staff, a source at Mar-a-Lago told NBC News on Wednesday. Quote, and he's sure meant taking a lot of credit for the president's victory, bragging about America's PAC and X to anyone who will listen. He's trying to make President Trump feel indebted to him, and the president is indebted to no one, the source said. So, I'm not interested in all that when I read all this. And neither should my listener, actually, though you can be interested in whatever you want. I'm not interested in all that drama. I'm interested in this, that exposes how Trump is going to appease his MAGA fans while being MIGA, making Israel great again. And he's loading up his cabinet and administration with Zion neo-clowns, but his MAGA minders only get collaborative access through a throwaway advisory council. I've spoken at length about advisory councils and their detriment. Listen to what this Department of Government Economy, DOGE, DOGE, actually is planned to be, that Musk is going to be a part of. And this is why I say these are notices to us, and we can start to parse what's actually going on. On Tuesday, Trump nominated Musk and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy to lead the Department of Governmental Efficiency, DOGE, DOGE. Although not an actual federal agency, DOGE will provide advice and guidance to the White House and Office of Management and Budget on how to eliminate regulations, slash government spending, and restructure other agencies, Trump said in a statement. So did you hear it? The definition of being involved with a lowly collaborative advisory council there? That this organization will provide advice and guidance to the White House and Office of Management and Budget. That's it. Provide advice, which has no binding effect whatsoever. This is for the MAGA side. This is for those promises that he did for those. And remember, too, collaborators are shot in the end of their usefulness, figuratively here, no less. But as I've explained, we showed a county how it was being defeated in this impotent, ineffectual advisory status, and had that county, through a county commissioner, given permission by the board to have sole authority to decide these matters, to withdraw and reassert their direct governmental power through coordination, which the federal government must meet, which moved the county from federal vassal, it being an advisory council capacity, to the 10th Amendment sovereign power, as I've explained years ago about this. So Vivek and Musk are just change agents when asking people to step up to and to serve this non-agency advisory council to the White House. Remember, it's not their own power, not even an agency. This is as a matter of federal law. Advisory councils are merely cooperative entities. They're offering suggestions that in practice likely are ignored unless the suggestions from the advisory council help to implement the agenda of the lead agency. In this case, that would be two, which was the White House and the Office of Management and Budget. So this DOGE has been out in the very process of real government efficiency organization that would stop it in its tracks if it was really what it was to do. If the DOGE was for efficiency, they would eliminate its entity because it's involved as an advisory council, which wastes time and energy. So the consequence here, the people think they're making America great again with their contribution, but are woefully ignorant of the federal law providing this is merely a distractive make-work of ineffectual direct democracy, the efficiency of the deception of government. I mean, Department of Government Efficiency, of which is 100% efficient in doing deception. This Hegelian process doesn't make America great again, but to the contrary, it incrementally destroys it. It's the most direct path to what they want while keeping the natives distracted and thinking they're contributing so that they don't get restless. Revolt and resistance for being duped through myth and magic and archetype hypnosis, as I explained in a prior episode, though the people think that they're critical thinkers on this, but they're being brought blissfully into the cricket sphere. Remember, Trump also denied Jefferson Mining District's offer to show this condition to him during Trump 1. I've talked to you about this as well. So this, again, is on record, what I'm explaining here. And he didn't even have the decency to send us a thanks for your offer of help, now go to Hades letter, to any one of our four communications of request to offer our governmental coordination power that we sent certified mail to make America great again then, not as a mere slogan, but for real, to bore in and show where the inefficiencies are, how these agencies are taking us out. See, at that time, we studied what was going on and identified that the Republican Party was acting like the Kennedy Democrats with a new sustainable and chosen twist, and the Democrats were going over the edge while the entire governmental tablecloth was sliding off the table into the stinking abyss. But we sued both the political parties for breach back in 2013. If you remember, I've told you about this. This is all about that right there. We've seen the Kennedy Democrats firm up around Trump this year with the sustainable twist with the one-and-a-half trick pony in RFK Jr. Everyone's now exalting here. He's now tapped for the Secretary of Health and Human Services. But remember, he's a troublesome, twisted environmentalist that denounced production, which would create real wealth, and had water keepers groups stealing your water as a producer. Oh, also, don't forget, he's of the worst race. Save only the chosen as an attorney as well. And the other, everyone around Trump beholden to the chosen, including the Nick Deere program to Ron Dunnett Trump himself, is involved. So Trump's burning the candle at both ends, and it looks very bright to dim-witted people expecting a savior, oblivious to having the obligation and duty themselves of controlling what's happening to them, and therefore they have no excuse. That's we the people. Eventually, all this deception, this consuming both ends, burns to the middle and everything goes dark. That things happen so quickly have gone demonstrably wrong in Trump too here as we watch the cabinet be built and what he's actually doing. As I explained, what they're doing with this DOGE in this one story is quicker even than at warp speed the first time. And not much of a response from the deceived is the people that he promised. It's quite something to witness on my end when I'm looking at this. So if you need to be afeared of something, more than Alex Jones' sensationalism and seemingly blind faith in Trump, be afeared of this condition. The process is taking you out as you watch, whether or not with your support. Right, Alex? Does he even know? I actually may be the only one. Quick, folks, collaboration, cooperation, or coordination, and why? Yes, this is a test. Collaboration, cooperation, or coordination, and what? Choose ye this day. And I hope you've already chosen wisely and not the pretentious chosen or their distractions, because we the people have our work cut out for us on this. This story here, Trump's annoying team, and you look at what they're explaining is going on with this DOGE, is probably all I've had to see in order to know where it's being taken. My only question is, are these officials, these people that we exalt, that ignorant, or do they know? And I've told you, we better take worst case. We better plan they know. And that's going to put, that puts even more responsibility on people to know, and I don't really see much of a reflection. Not certainly out of someone like Alex Jones. And while Susie, a quaint little name for Ice Maiden, may not have lobbied directly for Harma, but many other types of billion-dollar corporate interests, we can see the undue influence corporate lobbying has on we the people. Remember, all these folks that are in the cabinet, most of them, a lot of them, are billionaires. Even though I heard the new interior secretary is another billionaire coming out of North Dakota. Boy, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best, but you know, it's just not looking so good. You know them when you see them, and this is all I'm seeing right now to convey to you to keep an awareness going on. Don't allow yourself to be drawn in. Again, don't just be a contrarian either. Be an active part to discern what's really actually happening. Really, to keep you, you're separate, yourself separate away and not in front of the not in front of the train as it's going down the tracks on time. So we can see through here this corporate interest, the undue influence of corporate lobbying has on we the people, or when we abandon the law that exists to protect us, while governments nowhere protected any of us. In this next report, 112,000% greater risk of brain clots and strokes than flu shots. A peer-reviewed study published last week in the International Journal Innovative Research in Medicine Science found reports of 5,137 cases of cerebral thromboembolism after COVID-19 shots over 36 months, compared with 52 reported cases following flu vaccines and 282 cases for all vaccines over the past 34 years. So note to self, the flu vaccine is safe and effective. No terrible side effects possible. I'm sure the risk for cerebral thromboembolism in the regular flu vaccine is in the product insert that no one reads, proving no safe and effect, how safe and effective it really is. It would seem to me that no healthy individual should ever get a vaccine, given any competing health risk is mostly non-existent, in this case, beyond sniffling, sneezing, coughing, achy, stuffy head fever so you can rest medicine stuff. COVID-19 vaccines pose a 112,000 greater risk of brain clots and strokes than flu vaccines and a 20,700% greater risk of those symptoms than all the other vaccines combined, according to a peer-reviewed study that calls for a global moratorium on the vaccines. That was only two. What about all the other things that we see coming from what appears to be vaccines that have been denied, 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 and then we hear about FEMA's misinformation, lying, cover-ups? The data also indicated 9,821 reports of atrial fibrillation and irregular heart rhythm that is the most common identifiable cause of cerebral arterial thromboembolism following COVID-19 vaccinations in 41 months compared to 797 cases reported in 34 years for all other vaccines combined. Rogers told the Defender that the findings confirm anecdotal evidence of an increased incidence of stroke seen during and after the COVID-19 pandemic. I won't go through the words no more. You should know by now what we're talking about, this COVID swindle, but let's move on. They are finding actual effects, again, after the start of the jab at warp speed that Trump started, having no power and authority to do so. Remember that. Because federal law, the organization of the federal system, reserves health authority to the states, not the federal government. The study did not compare the different COVID-19 vaccine types, the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines and the Johnson and Johnson Janssen and AstraZeneca and adenovirus-based vaccines. Rogers noted, though, that the adenovirus vaccines were withdrawn in the U.S. and Europe following a report of blood clots. According to the study, the spike protein found in COVID-19 vaccines is likely a significant contributor to the brain clots and strokes. So I keep reading this vaccine and tripping. My mind just tripped. You know they weren't vaccines, and local communicable disease law said that. So I already talked about how that all works. This is saying if you got the shot, it wasn't just a clot shot. This has a this increased risk. So there's a lot more to read from this link. I did not reference any virus that the experts reference, because there is no the virus either, as we can see that none non-fraudulently demonstrated by the local health official anywhere in the world as well. But the SARS-CoV-2 reference is patented by the CDC in 2003 and therefore cannot be a natural virus and shall pursuant to patent law shall be unnatural, called novel. But here, glean what you can from all these safe and effective CDC and FDA frauds promoting pharma profiteers, and be careful who the article infers are the knowledgeable good guys. For instance, it says, in January, Florida Surgeon General Joseph Ladapo called for a halt in the use of COVID-19 mRNA vaccines over safety concerns. So this guy, Ladapo, didn't comply with, in Florida, the Surgeon General of Florida didn't comply with the local communicable disease law either. So he caused the problem, not avoided the problem, nor did he save anyone from the irreparable harms they suffered, or death, as it was. Nor did he keep his state protected from the economic harms ongoing and contributing to the future that they want, accelerated to warp speed by Trump 1.0. So be careful of what they say our saviors are. And they keep promoting this guy, too. It's irritating to me. I send him to ex-Twitters. I post him these things. I ask him questions. Certainly, they're not going to answer me. But it's clear. We're reading another article here that tells you the dangers. And I said, because you got the shots, I'm not against you. You need to know you have some serious problems that you could be seeing. You could have got a placebo batch, too. So we don't know. I told you this all happening over the last, well, it's been over 2 years ago for 3 years. Another here, pharma paid $1.06 billion to reviewers at top medical journals. Again, covered behind the woodshed. Identifying the failures, not having any proof. It's not, I said, it's going to come in years. Here it is. The pharmaceutical industry paid $1.06 billion, bravo dollars, to reviewers at top medical journals between 2020 and 2022. Remember, Operation Hindsight 2020, I deemed this hashtag to collect up the ex-Twitters eventually on what I was putting out and what we were supposed to have seen in 2020, were that they were going to do it to us again, and would we avoid it? And I thought, I hope we would, but we didn't. So here's what we're now getting. Here's what we're now seeing. And thank you to those of you that had your mind on and didn't do it. But a lot of people didn't. A lot of people were afeared into responding and paying their money and giving up their lives or their health by all this, and notwithstanding whatever I was saying. That's why it's important to spread the word that needs to be spread. But at any rate, I get frustrated. I hear this stuff. I don't know what more to do about it. I'm talking my brains out in a way, and I don't get the coverage to help people. I'm just trying to help people here. And I don't know why there's not more support. That said, I continue. I get encouraged to continue, so as long as I can, and it's been real tough, but I continue to try and do all this. Although the conflicts of interest among general editors and auditors have been investigated, the study authors wrote, any conflicts of interest the peer reviewers may have been harder to assess. The traditional opaque nature of peer review has hindered the evaluation of peer reviewers, despite their crucial role in academic publishing, the authors wrote. Also remember the tens of thousands, 30,000 different wrong peer reviews that we found from China and the other things that they were 10,000 articles they had to scrape here just recently. Remember, this is all playing part of that as well in this story. The typical conflict of interest policy journals have for authors requiring only that they disclose their conflicts do not usually apply to peer reviewers according to the JMA study. Overall, the authors found that 1,155 of the reviewers included in their study received industry payments between 2020 and 2022, with most payments made to physicians and their institutions to finance research. More than half of the reviewers accepted payment for travel, speaking, and consulting. Those direct non-research related payments had a median value of $7,614. So how's a doctor on the take going to listen to a guy behind the woodshed saying you don't have an authority until you make a report and follow the local communicable disease law? They ain't going to listen. You have to. That's why I said you got to protect yourself. There's the best medicine money can buy and not a cure in sight, as far as I can see in that story as well. And I told you, stand up for yourself, and now we get a little bit of evidence of that. Woman fired for refusing COVID vaccine wins record $12 million. The federal jury in Detroit awarded more than $12 million Friday to a former Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan employee who was terminated after declining to get a COVID-19 vaccination, citing religious discrimination. Remember all the episodes I did and the letter I wrote to help all y'all who wanted to do that and put that forward. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan had implemented its vaccine policy in October 2021, requiring all employees to be fully vaccinated for COVID-19 and obtain a religious or medical accommodation. The company denied any discrimination during the trial. In earlier court filings, the insurer questioned whether Domsky held a sincerely held religious belief. According to the verdict form, Lisa Domsky, who worked at the insurance company for more than 30 years as an IT specialist, received $10 million in punitive damages against Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. The jury also awarded her approximately $1.7 million in lost wages and $1 million in non-economic damages. Domsky claimed she was a victim of religious discrimination after the company denied her request for an exemption from its 2021 vaccine policy. She maintained that the requirement conflicted with her Catholic beliefs. Court records show Domsky worked 100% remotely during the pandemic and 75% remotely before the COVID-19 emerged in 2020. Her attorney, John Marco, argued that even without a vaccination, she posed no risk to others due to her remote work arrangement. Quote, "Our forefathers fought and died for their freedom for each American to practice his or her own religion. Neither the government nor a corporation has a right to force an individual to choose between his or her career and conscience," Marco said in a statement. Quote, "Lisa refused to renounce her faith and beliefs and was wrongly terminated from the only job she had ever known. The jury's verdict today tells BBSM that religious discrimination has no place in America and affirms each person's right of religious freedom. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan has indicated it is reviewing potential legal options, suggesting a possible appeal to the verdict." Let me remind you, when you looked at the OSHA, you looked at these federal forms and things, once you filled the file out, there was not supposed to be any interrogation on that whatsoever. Once you did it, once you told them what you preferred to do, there was no power in, forget all the local communicable disease, just on the fact of that form, the authority there. There was no power in a government, in a company to deny it. You've heard that in other cases I've reported on too. So did you hear, though, any mention of the failure of the local doctor to say they had COVID, that they had to have a treatment? Is the problem here? The silent problem right in everybody's face. The easy answer. They had to go through a jury trial to get some sympathy from them on something that shouldn't have ever happened anyway, because it didn't follow local communicable disease law. So I hope you pick together, when everyone is ignorant of the law, you see how many people have to get involved in order to bring a small amount of justice to the act wrongly done by people, or companies, people inside companies that have no authority whatsoever to be doing it. To demand a vaccine would mean that those companies and those employees in companies, or whoever they are doctors practicing law without a license. It's fascinating what we've allowed to come out of this. But at any rate, just putting together, we have wins. We have these legal things coming along. We stand on the law. I said the black and white's there to read. It's all right there. We may not enjoy much of it sometimes, but apparently when you get an attorney, you can kind of help do the right thing. They did it right enough. In this case, because the law is so clear on the fact of the religious exemption, and it has no power. This is probably very clear cut, actually. There's no room, wiggle room around it. When you asserted it, that should have been it. That was what the law says. But another giant win case here against the climate activists, other Karens in the world, I suppose, people who make stuff up for the Great Reset, the great Kobe swindle being a part of it. A Dutch appeals court has dismissed a 2021 ruling that obliged Shell to cut emissions. The appeals court in The Hague overturned a 2021 ruling in the case brought against Shell by Friends of the Earth, other NGOs, and a group of individuals, the corporation said in a statement on Tuesday. And I want to reiterate, this is the type of groups that Robert R.F. Kennedy Jr., an attorney himself, would help and promote worldwide to do this against companies and producers, farmers, ranchers, miners, and all this. So understand what I'm bringing here, too. Maybe unsaid, I had to say this part because it seems to go by right by everybody. The ambiguity that's being built into the current administration right now that claims to be making America great again, I just can't yet see it. The green activists originally sued the company in 2019, arguing that Shell had an obligation to cut greenhouse gas emissions to protect people from global warming. The subsequent ruling 2 years later ordered Shell to cut its carbon emissions by 45% by 2030 compared to 2019 levels. The ruling extended both the company's emissions and those caused by the use of its products, such as the people burning its fuel in their cars. The court stated that the oil and gas firm should follow the worldwide agreement that a 45% net reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 was necessary to limit the temperature increase to 1.5% centigrade, that's 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, above pre-industrial levels. The goal was set by an international treaty on climate change, the 2016 Paris Agreement, which Trump, to his credit, voided, and yet Biden came back and threw it back together. And I hear Trump's going to toss it back out, but you see the ridiculousness of that back and forth. That's not really what, you know, there should be a law here to stop all this nonsense. I'd like to know how that court received proof that there was going to be an increase of 1.5 degrees centigrade, or how an overnight temperature 40 degrees swing day to night doesn't obliterate that to begin with. Neither here nor there here for this story. So now here is where the appeals court says something very important, and it's consistent with how emission controls are to be balanced with their actual mitigation effect of a known harm. The appeals court in The Hague dismissed the entire ruling on Tuesday, saying Shell was already working to reduce emissions. The court also stated that it was unclear whether demands to reduce emissions caused by the use of Shell's product would help the fight against climate change. So that doesn't sound like much, but it's no different than a couple of the requirements of the local communicable disease law, that there has to be a non-fraudulently demonstrated cause to mitigate, then the reasonable treatment to effectively stop that harmful cause. In this case, the green proponents didn't show the court could provide a lawful remedy where there was nothing to measure against. Impliedly, at least, despite presuming climate change real, there is no climate change proof to show what Shell Oil's reductions would contribute to meet in its obligations. And as I say, its obligations, because Shell has assumed to make emission reductions due to climate change, implying it agrees to that harebrained notion and does not object to it, which I find curious. I mean, no objections to fraud? That's what their lawyers did? But in any regard, reflective of the U.S. regulations here in this country, the EPA and under those recent Supreme Court cases I keep bringing up now since then, that may provide for less application of this mitigation effect must be in the minimum balanced with the costs and actual mitigation of a shown harm, or it would be unlawful. And this is what I've told you about the NEPA, the Supplemental Act, National Environmental Protection Act. It's a balanced situation, best as you can do, but it doesn't put the environment first. It puts man's needs first. And I'll remind you also of that company, cement company, my colleague helped with my mentorship to show that the state EPA failed to properly estimate the mercury that was wrongly attributed to being introduced by that cement company in making the cement, when it failed to take into account that the mercury that it was measuring was in the ambient air entering the production process. But the government had the cement company paying an immense sum of money to take all the mercury out of the environment that the company made no contribution to, which is beyond its obligation here as well, if any. And I say if any because it was found that with the proper ambient air measurements for mercury, the mercury concentrations in the air, natural air, the company made no contributions to them. So how much more of a violation to Shell, where there is no measure against a scientifically objective basis in a dynamic or environmental Earth system of little actual apprehension that has existed since climate change has not been about the weather? It's one thing to stop pollution as well here, but it's quite another to have a special interest group conflate pollution for purposes of promoting their political movement and their political imposition upon people of the Earth that they want dead anyway. The Friends of the Earth described the verdict as a blow to climate justice. Well, climate justice, not justice for you. Besides, what is meteorological conditions justice? That it is any different than of cancel culture intolerant injustices these sociopaths are attempting to impose upon my listener, a special interest in prevailing condition or a set of attitudes in human affairs. Yeah, it's that climate they are speaking to, not any meteorological conditions. As I've repeatedly and routinely said here, climate change is not about the weather, but whether you'll bow to their extortionate coercive antics. The environmental organization has spent 3 months to launch an appeal, and the Dutch Supreme Court, which would then take about 18 months to come to a final decision. So we'll have to wait to see whether and which way the court tilts toward the natural climate or the unnatural Michael man-made climate in this. But I found the story interesting, how it correlates here in the United States relative to our rules and what's supposed to happen and how the government messes it up and how they get to have environmental groups such as those that RFK Jr. was supporting and helping to destroy production and people that produce. And I'm not saying that I agree that Shell should pollute. That's not what that case was about. So let's not conflate that. A lot of people want to do that. And Google has no duty to refund gift card scam victims, the judge finds. Duties and obligations. There's nothing unfair about Google collecting fees to profit off Google Play gift card scams while refusing to refund victims who collectively lost millions, federal judge Beth Freeman ruled Monday, largely granting Google's motion to dismiss a proposed class action seeking substantial damages for a range of allegedly unfair practices. Freeman found that Google is shielded from liability because the tech giant did not induce victims to purchase the gift cards. The scammers did. The lawsuit was filed by Judy May, who lost $1,000 in 2021 when the scammers tricked her into buying Google Play gift cards by claiming she was eligible for a governmental grant. May was told she could send codes for the gift card to cover, quote, certain costs up front to receive same-day delivery of the grant money. After she fell for it, she realized she'd been scammed, but Google refused to provide a refund, citing the terms May considered unconscionable. Now, I've suggested using unconscionability in your challenges. What I'm reminded to tell you here is when unconscionability is alleged, the unconscionability has to be actual, not merely an assertion. So we read here Freeman ruled that May suffered economic harm because of third-party scammers' fraudulent inducement, not Google's omission or misrepresentation. Additionally, May failed to show that Google had any duty to refund customers after Google cited Target and Walmart policies to show that it's common to refuse refunds. Take note, folks. Freeman mostly sided with Google, deciding that the company's engaged in no unfair practices while noting that May had not used the cards in their designed way. Additionally, May's attempt to argue that Google has the technology to detect scams failed, Freeman wrote, because May couldn't prove that Google deployed that technology when her particular scam purchases were made. And I guess this is another list of things that watch out what you're doing when you allege these things. Look at what you're going to have to prove out when you make that allegation And I think these court cases and these explanations are really nice to look at to give us a basis to start moving forward when we think we have been harmed. Okay, in this case here, even after May argued that she reported the theft to Google, Freeman wrote, May's complaint failed because, quote, there is no allegation that Google had a duty to investigate her report. Ultimately, May's complaint, quote, identifies no public policy suggesting Google had a duty to refund the scam victims or that the harm of Google's conduct outweighs any benefits, Freeman concluded. In her order, Freeman provided leave to amend some claims in the next 45 days, but ARS but could not immediately reach May's lawyer to confirm if the complaint would likely be amended. However, the judge notably dismissed a claim seeking triple damages because May's complaint, quote, failed to show a likelihood that May will be a victim of gift card scams again, given her awareness of such scams, which may deflate May's interests to amend. And I want to point this out. This complaint was not written by May. This is arguments that failed before a judge because they were insufficient, and a lawyer, an attorney, wrote them. So let's keep track of that as well. That particular part of the ruling may be especially frustrating for May, whose complaint was sparked by a claim that she never would have been victimized if Google had provided adequate warnings of scams. Hey, not taking, exploiting the ignorance, right? And that last little bit was what I would have thought, that a warning out to have been made would have been required. But so here it is. The only thing I can see is they will exploit this. They don't have to give a warning. But when they don't, they can't be held liable. Why? They probably don't do it. The answer seems to me pretty simple. Don't use Google Play. And de-Googleize your life. Start weaning yourself from these corporations that have the attorneys to figure out how to scam other people. But take their cut on a scam. Never get it. The scammers are going to go do it again. U.S. court rules Ten Commandments law unconstitutional. To the gasp of parts of my audience, I'm sure. U.S. court rules Ten Commandments law unconstitutional. But you're thinking caps on this one, too. A federal court in the United States of Louisiana has declared an unconstitutional law requiring that Christianity, Ten Commandments, be displayed in all public schools across the southern state by the new year. The statute was previously praised by U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. I guess I got to keep bringing this up. See, if you look very carefully, he praised a lot of things. He supported a lot of things that all have been thrown out. They've been illegal. Bump stocks, another thing. I won't go through the list. So be careful of who we have in here. Why I said it's going to take we the people to work this thing through while we have someone who may be able to, he's got the public influence to be able to pull this off. And maybe despite himself. I don't know. We'll have to see how this works out. The legislation enacted in June by Louisiana's Republican Governor Jeff Landry requires all state-funded primary and secondary schools as well as universities to post the commandments in large, easily readable font in every classroom by January 1st, 2025. Louisiana is the only U.S. state to have adopted such a law. Trump commended the law at the time, describing it as possibly the first major step in a revival of religion, which is desperately needed in our country. Now, the sentiment's good, but again, the law works a little bit different. Tuesday, blocking of the statute, which comes just days after Trump's re-election, was made by federal judge John DeGravelles, an appointee of former Democratic President Barack Obama. Judge DeGravelles described the law as unconstitutional on its face, as well as discriminatory and coercive. He added that the state violated the religious rights of people who oppose such displays. The legal challenge to the statute was launched by a multi-faith group of several Louisiana families shortly after its adoption. The plaintiffs, among whom were Jewish, Christian, and non-religious families, cited a 1980 U.S. Supreme Court decision voiding similar legislation in another southern state, Kentucky. The court ruled at the time the separation of church and state guaranteed by the United States Constitution bars public schools from posting the Ten Commandments in classrooms. So I'm wondering if someone were to post the laws of the state that were consistent with the Ten Commandments, such as the theft, thou shalt not steal, and put those in a list, whether that would be considered a violation of the separation of church and state or accepted despite being the religion of the state. The only thing I feel to say here on this as well is to reassert that if you want a religious example to guide your sons and daughters, keep the Constitution. Keep the separation of church and state. And as we're told, get out of her, my people. Get your sons and daughters out of public schools. De-indoctrinate them. As you de-Googleize them as well. Again, we have to have a responsibility and ownership in this part, that put ourselves in a place the state can't interfere. Some states may make that difficult. You have to have, again, belief in your principle and a basis for it, and don't let up. The state religion, not to be done here, one reason for the Know Thy Neighbor customer laws that we have. It's all about persecution, it seems to me, because what came of this anyway? The ex-U.S. Marine denied smearing Harris campaign at Russia's behest. The Washington Post article alleges Jean-Marc Dugan targeted U.S. voters with deep fakes. And can we all trust and maintain confidence in Washington Post anyway, can't we? Can we do that? Nah, likely not. A former U.S. Marine has orchestrated a misinformation campaign targeting the team of Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris at the Russians' behest, the Washington Post has claimed, citing documents provided by an unidentified European intelligence service. Unidentified. Jean-Marc Dugan, however, has denied any such ties to the Russian government, suggesting that the paper relied on fabricated materials. Dugan previously accused the U.S. government of stationing biological laboratories on Ukrainian soil while denouncing Vladimir Zelensky as an American corrupt puppet who had sold out his people for money. That was a lie, correct? Well, of course not. Not even when I said about what provided proof behind here behind the woodshed multiple times, right? This guy. Oh, I know. Don't forget about the Lugar Research Center in Tbilisi, Georgia. Not the administrative state, no. The United States, the country of Georgia, the country. I even memory hold a couple of posts on ex-Twitter about that. This says here, I thought this was an important statement. The ex-Marine fled to Russia in 2016 after claiming he was being persecuted by the FBI for creating the website pbsotalk.org, which allowed users to anonymously submit cases of violations by U.S. law enforcement. Of course he was persecuted. Being persecuted, Dugan obtained Russian citizenship in 2023 after living in the country for several years, has denied having anything to do with creating the above-mentioned media network, and insisted that no one sends me money for anything. He also insisted that the document must have been fabricated. Hypothetically, if they were my sites, then I would merely be fighting fire with fire because the West is F**k lying about everything that's happening, he added. Dugan is reportedly linked to the GRU officer Yuri Goroshenko and is subsidized by an institute led by Alexander Dugin, a Russian philosopher, political commentator, and proponent of establishing a Euro-Asian empire capable of fighting the U.S.-led Western world order. Dugin also denied claims of links to Russian intelligence, adding that any suggestion about attempts to manipulate foreign journalists or influence the political landscape in the U.S. are completely unjustified. Of course it's unjustified. Free speech, right? Well, apparently only in Russia, though, that this gentleman has to go from the United States to there to feel like he can freely speak. It really is a testament to what's going on in this country. And what really has to be straightened up. That's a constitutional fundamental issue that not even Trump can do much about. You just stop beating on people for doing so. But here's the type of lawsuit I have previously insisted crypto entities ought to have made at the onset of the SEC interference as the agency smears its power all over everything. But as I also said, more recently in its defense for failing to act, this may be the more appropriate timing, and additionally, an indictment against the judiciary that there is a right time for justice and not all the time immediately. That 18 state coalition sues SEC over gross overreach in cryptocurrency industry. The re-election of Donald Trump, who is decidedly pro-crypto, thanks to his son Barron apparently, has emboldened cryptocurrency proponents to make their displeasure at the way the industry has been treated, known as 18 states have filed a lawsuit against the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, and Chair Gary Gensler, accusing the financial regulator of gross governmental overreach against the industry. The Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, has not respected this allocation of authority, the complaint reads. Instead, without congressional authorization, the SEC has sought to unilaterally wrest regulatory authority away from the states through an ongoing series of enforcement actions. Where were these folks when there was Covey swindle hit? I want to say this is also better time because that statement asserting the absence of congressional authorization is what the recent Supreme Court cases clarified. That is now unquestioned with those cases. That may would have been a question when they did that, they asserted what I was saying earlier. The complaint, which was filed in collaboration with crypto advocacy group DeFi Education Fund, called the SEC's regulatory approach to crypto a blatant abuse of governmental power. At bottom, the SEC's regulatory overreach defies basic principles of federalism and separation of powers. The SEC's assertion of sweeping jurisdiction without congressional authorization deprives states of their proper sovereign role and chills the development of innovative regulatory frameworks for the digital asset industry, the filing said. Still worse, by attempting to shoehorn digital assets into ill-fitting federal securities laws and inapt disclosures regimes, the SEC is harming the very citizen it purports to protect by displacing better-suited state laws that have been carefully designed to ensure consumer protection in the digital asset industry. So the claim that the crypto is ill-fitting federal securities laws is the main, though not the only, objection I suggested needs to be made. Whether the attorneys did the rest correctly remains to be seen, but at least there's a challenge now. And I'm not sure of the propriety of the saying that crypto is under state control either without any demonstrated exigence for that or to ensure privatization as I would hope they would be focused on. I'm hesitant to wonder why it's called an industry at all either. But we'll have to see how this plays out, and we'll have to keep an eye peeled. Ow. To keep something crypto beyond industry or state controls for us. And I also want to make the observation, I always interested in watching, they said at bottom. Bottom is a word in Admiralty. It has to do with a ship. So I always find it interesting they relate to Admiralty in these situations as well. And in the international sense, where the federal is international, the state, local state countries, the states abroad each other. And that's another Admiralty term. So, very interesting little thing inside. I know I didn't go researching that, except for if you know what the word bottom means. Try throwing that into the issue. So, hope something I said brings you less afeard. Let's hope that. Let's see Alex Jones make a turn on these folks and keeps going, whatever my contention with him is. Anyway, we need the people with voices that will at least present the information for people to be able to pick out. And I hope you've picked up something for yourself and use it in your life and local. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 603. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Willing.
Echoes call the hour is near. Sunday, the clock strikes three, Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free, pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn, dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned, Hal's words ignite, the airwaves burn, stand up, listen, it's time to learn, behind the woodshed.
an unquenchable thirst behind the woodshed. No stone unturned, house words ignite, the airways burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes, behind the woodshed, beating drums. House voice, a beacon, fierce and bold, in the fight for truth. Call behind the woods.